Many, I would guess most, of us critical of the system come to that criticism through a body root, a feeling of revulsion or anger at class, at rank, feeling its unfairness and ultimately seeing its complete irrationality. And that body root is the light of our true life. We arrive aflame with its questions, seeking the fuel to grow it bigger. To the source, by and for our nature, we are in debt. And to the source, we owe our allegiance. But we're not told this, not told that for any agency of man, false authority, to attempt to condition our thoughts such that our fundamental, essential, foundational allegiance to God or love or Allah or the Great Spirit or the Infinite is transferred to it, false authority, is sowing fear to reap hate, an intent to coerce us to join them in their hell-bent race to destruction. And when we seek the food for our flame to grow, we don't know it at first, but this is spiritual food we seek. The power guys, the vessels of wrath, look for these flames seeking growth, particularly to snuff, divert, dispirit, or otherwise render null as threats. Threats to their intent to keep us mired in their illusions and other such lies. And as the class system is totalitarian, the help we need getting unstuck must come from people and forces outside the system. In an audio segment from the May 13, 2018 show, we said that we're resolving our rage at the abusiveness of class done to us to oneness. That's really what we're trying to do, isn't it? But that's a destination I can't say I saw consciously or understood in its full significance until I became aware of the work of Prince and saw the importance of modeling the alternative to that system, that is, of seeing the transition from the inside out. But the question remains, how do we globally, all of us coming from different experiences of being abused by this system of class, generally not experienced consciously as such, how do our hearts gladden, wake up to the alternative? All of our emissaries from love struggled with this question. We've called it Socrates' dilemma. All of them recognize the central role in the solution of that dilemma of getting us to think. The problem is that we're punished by the state for thinking authentically from such an early age. Let's never forget that Prince was little more than a child when the state selected him for its most severe punishment. But less severe punishment is meted out to everyone, first by the parent, then by teachers, etc. Once you revolt against class, you see this stultification of thought everywhere in it. Class is totalitarian. Let me share a portion of another Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. Bill Watterson is so funny. In this one, Calvin is on the playground at school pretending to be a Tyrannosaurus coming into the schoolyard at recess and imagining how a narrator might relate the scene. Oh no, it's the middle of recess and there's a Tyrannosaurus on the playground. The kids at the top of the slide are the first to go. How ironic that they pushed and fought to be there. Pandemonium ensues. Teachers line the kids up to go inside, but that proves to be a sad mistake. Walking quietly in single file, the kids are gobbled up like chicken McNuggets. Soon the playground is empty. It's all his. The Tyrannosaurus lets out a triumphant roar. Compelled obedience is the bludgeon of thought, abusive yet not seen as such, because to see it requires the very thing crushed underfoot. I must admit this has been difficult for me, this issue, too facile, it seems, my response to my son when he raised the question, how do we get past our own abusive treatment so that we can be part of establishing the will of God, global unity? Very brilliant, the prophet's de-emphasis, dismissal even, of works as opposed to hearing or hearkening. Wouldn't you have loved to hear that discussion in Paul's head? His letters tend to leave out a lot of the connective bits. Again, thought is required of us. Prince too writes in multiple messages, it came natural to him. To some extent, it was with intent. All of them meant, as a stimulus, strong draughts of their refreshing minds. To drink enables mind. How powerful the stimulus of an hermetic mind. Quoting Emily Dickinson, the mission of the prophets is to call us by stimulating thought, which leads to attendance upon spirit. And attention, listening to spirit, builds spirit, cements us in spirit.